pretty big thing. Tomorrow starts with me. The Green Bay Packers select Jordan Morgan, tackle, Arizona.
Versatile offensive lineman like we like, you know, really athletic. Feel he could probably play four positions for us.
Well, they went offensive line, but certainly not the direction we anticipated.
It's not a sexy pick. Cooper DeJean would have been a sexy pick.
I have him listed as the 17th best available player.
That particular cheesehead doesn't seem excited.
Everything froze, and then I got that call.
Two-time team captain, our kind of guy.
The Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams.
I'm good. My fortunes are changing.
The Minnesota Vikings select
J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan.
J.J. McCarthy, if he's got to develop, he's going to have to play right away just based on what they have currently.
This stuff never goes as you think it will.
Cooper DeJean.
Still there.
Tomorrow starts with me. Blue, what's this rumor I hear? Are you in Detroit announcing pick 41 for the Packers?
I am in Detroit. I found out that I got two picks if Goody keeps them.
Does that mean Cooper DeJean 41?
Nah, he ain't making that far.
I mean, it would be pretty cool if he did.
Here he comes. Cooper DeJean cuts it back. He scores.
If Cooper DeJean is there, I think they probably take him.
He's a hell of a football player.
If he ends up in Green Bay, I would be easy.
I don't think they're going to use all five of their day one, day two picks.
You got to hit with at least two or three of them, and they have to be ready to play now.
Our guys are going to have to come back and just get to work.
We work so hard at getting the value right of the players on the board.
The Green Bay Packers select.
Tomorrow starts with me and you and you. Tomorrow starts with me and you. And
ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN app in Wisconsin on demand. That's not how it played out last night, although it was what we anticipated throughout the course of the day yesterday. Four picks for general manager Brian Gutekunst on day two in rounds two and three. Five picks in the books. Six still remain. No, more than six still remain. Because he was wheeling and dealing last night. We're going to talk all about it, plus be joined by a bunch of special guests throughout the show with you until 11 o'clock when coverage of rounds four through seven continues from ESPN Radio right here on ESPN Wisconsin. My name's Jesse Nelson, normally the host, or nope, I don't host, normally the producer of Wilde and Tausch weekday mornings 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison, downtown Madison on the Isthmus, where it is a beautiful day. Farmers Market, Crazy Legs Classic. Mifflin, all the college kids getting drunk today.
Yeah!
Alex Gravatt's the producer behind the glass in the studio with me, and that is the voice in the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios, the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, where I don't know if all the college kids are getting drunk there. It's Alex Stroh. He's the producer of Kyle Bruston Norton, weekday afternoon starting at 2 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin. Strophy, how we feeling?
I'm good, Jesse. Beautiful day here in Milwaukee. And I can't speak for the college kids of Milwaukee, but I can speak for myself. I'm going to the Brewers game today, so I know I'll be having a couple two-tree.
Watch out in case there's a big victory. Make sure nobody rips your shirt off at the end of it like they did for Joey Ortiz last night. Not a fan. I got to admit something. Before we get into the draft, I'm watching the Brewers game. 11.
Uh-oh.
They've done
11
this,
innings, yeah.
They've done this a few times when you hit a walk-off hit and then they like maul the guy at second base and chase him into the outfield, try to rip his jersey. I don't understand that celebration. Like if I
why not?
I like celebrations that are easily replicated. The Rodgers belt. You can like I want to see athletes celebrate the way that I can celebrate when I win a game of Flip Cup with my buddies. And I don't want Tier 1 Tyler and Dave and John and Corey coming and ripping my shirt off when I sink the final ball in beer pong or flip the final cup over at a drinking game. Like, I like
well,
the belt. I like
on.
High
Slow
fives.
Down.
I like the shoulder jump. All that stuff.
I can definitely confirm to you, Jesse, nobody is planning on ripping your shirt off after sinking the final ball
not.
In Flip Cup or beer pong. I mean,
if you look like Joey Ortiz, yeah, it's cool if that happens.
But Joey
if
Ortiz
like me, no.
had a walk-off hit in the 11th inning against the New York Yankees.
That's
a little
great.
Bit different than Jesse Nelson sinking one from 6 feet in beer pong.
What happened to the dog pile? Whatever happened to the dog pile? We do the dog pile when you
injuries.
Win.
Injuries. People get injured.
I know. No one's going to get hurt if you're trying to rip a jersey off of a guy.
No, it's all in good fun.
844-770-3776 is the number to get into the show. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day, and naturally we're talking about ripping jerseys off of guys when you're celebrating a big win like the Brewers had over the Yankees last night. We will avoid the Bucks at all costs, I think, on this show after yesterday's performance. They're donezo. Not donezo, Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst. He was, as you like to say, Strofe, cooking last night in rounds two and three of the NFL draft. Four picks from Goody last night. The picks, in case you missed them, 45th overall, Edrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. Goody traded back to acquire a couple of picks later in the draft, moved back four spots, and still got a really solid edge rusher, Edrin Cooper, from Texas A&M. Safety, Javon Bullard from Georgia. Goody loves his dogs, we know that. Georgia guy coming again to Green Bay, swapping one G on the helmet for the other. He is expected to be the starting safety alongside Xavier McKinney, who was acquired in free agency for the Packers here in 2024. Then in round three, Marshawn Lloyd, running back from USC, and linebacker Tyron Hopper from Missouri. That one seemed like a bit of a reach. He wasn't in many projected tiers at the time that that pick was made late last night. So Strofe, four picks in the books yesterday. Of course, all that goes alongside with Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman from Arizona, who was selected in round one. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day with four rounds still to go. What do we make of what Goody's done so far?
Yeah, it's super reminiscent of a year ago. Pick number one, not the sexiest pick in the world, although last year a little bit better than this year. But you go Jordan Morgan in the first round this year, and everybody's thinking, oh, man, Cooper DeJean was there. Oh, man, Graham Barton was there. You could have had Kool-Aid, but you draft a big boy, Jordan Morgan, the left tackle of the future for this Packers team. Not the sexiest pick in the world, but yeah, I've slept on it a few nights, Jesse. I know I was awfully pessimistic the moment it happened. I really like that pick now. As we look at yesterday, Edrin Cooper's a guy they debated taking at pick 25 in the first round. He falls all the way to them 20 picks later at 45 after they trade back out of pick 41 with New Orleans. They get pick 45. Edrin Cooper's a guy that was an absolute game wrecker for Texas A&M last year. Great RAS score, which I know we'll talk more about throughout the rest of the show today. Relative athletic score, which Goody loves.
I don't think mine's very good.
Mine also not very good. But Cooper's is over 8.5. I don't remember what it is exactly off the top of my head. But he's a guy who had double-digit tackles for loss last year for Texas A&M, had eight sacks, had a really nice season for them. And he's another guy they brought in on one of those top 30 visits, Jesse. And I know earlier this week you were making fun of me because I handed you a piece of paper with all the Packers' top 30 visits. And I said, hey, they're going to draft two or three of these guys. Edrin Cooper, the first off the board. And then, as you mentioned, Javon Bullard, it's a safety defender, a Georgia defender, excuse me. He fits the Goody way. If you play defense at Georgia, you've probably got a starting spot on this defense. Javon Bullard will be the safety opposite of Xavier McKinney. And you mentioned Hopper. I don't know a ton about him. He might have been overdrafted, but it's linebacker depth. It's a position of need. I like that. And finally, a guy who we're all accidentally going to call Marshawn Lynch 8 million times, the new running back, Marshawn Lloyd. You and I have talked for months, Jess, about the running back position. And that it is a position of need for the Green Bay Packers. They've got two guys right now who are very similar. In Josh Jacobs, who can be one of the best running backs in the league, and A.J. Dillon, who's a nice complimentary piece. But you need somebody who's a little bit more shifty, who can be more of a threat in the receiving game. I think you get that with Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, rather. So I love what Goody did on day two. You're absolutely correct. He was cooking.
I'd be more interested if he was out of the UFC as opposed to USC. I didn't like the Marshawn Lloyd pick, and I know he's...
Why not?
I think Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network was saying this is the best running back in the draft.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Jeremiah is biased because he's also part of the Chargers radio network, and so USC is right down the road, so it's like us saying, yeah, Braylon Allen's the best running back in the draft. Well, of course we're going to say that. We're right down the road from him.
Fair point.
I think... Running back was a position that I wanted the Packers to address in this draft because of the state of things with A.J. Dillon, and you don't know how long Josh Jacobs is going to be able to do it. I know he's got a 3-year deal, but who knows if he sees the end of that in Green Bay. I hope he does. I did not want the Packers to address running back until day three because similarly to how I view running backs during the season and giving them big contracts, I think running back, unfortunately for those of the players who play the position, it's the most replaceable position in football. It's very easy to put somebody back there. Look at all of the undrafted free agents that have stepped in and become big-time running backs in the league. Look at all of the running backs who have replaced greats, like Austin Eckler replacing Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. Melvin Gordon was a superstar. They didn't want to pay him what he thought he deserved. They brought in Austin Eckler. He became the next great running back. It's a system-based thing. It's all like, yes, they're all talented, but it's also a very replaceable position. So I did not want the Packers to use a day two draft pick on a running back. I was hoping Blake Corum of Michigan would be available on day three. He wasn't. He actually went before Marshawn Lloyd was selected last night by the Packers in that run. Three straight Michigan players, which just shows you where Michigan's at and how far Wisconsin is from getting on that tier. So I was really impressed that Blake Corum went where he did. I was bummed because I thought he could be a fourth-round, fifth-round kind of sleeper pick for the Packers. I would not have spent that pick last night on a running back, no matter what the board said. I would have rather gone offensive line depth. I would have rather gone bolstering the secondary. I would have rather gone edge rusher, like give yourself more opportunities to try and find somebody that can fill the need there and competition coming into camp. I would have rather done that.
I had a feeling this is what you were going to say this morning, Jesse, and I understand why. But then again, let's think about the track record. Let's think about the history. Where has the Packers' bread been buttered when it comes to offensive line depth? Day three. David Bakhtiari was a day three pick. You have to think depth pieces. Goody's got, what, eight picks today? I imagine two of those will go towards the offensive line. I imagine two of those will go to the defensive backfield. I imagine one or two of those will go to defensive line depth. I think a lot of those holes will be filled today. And you have to think about some of the guys even last year who contributed, right? Carl Brooks was a day three pick. And Zach Tom, I think, was a day three pick, maybe late day two pick. Regardless, these later rounds are where Goody really does cook. As much as I make that joke in day one and day two, he breads the Packers butter with some of these deep picks that maybe don't contribute year one, but come 2 or 3 years from now, they're on the field and they prove they're worthy. I mean, that's why you get him in rounds 4, 5, and 6. So I'm excited to see what he does here in the final day of the NFL draft. And I imagine some of those needs and wants will be addressed, like offensive line depth, because you're totally right. They need a ton of it. That's why the Jordan Morgan pick day one was so exciting to some. But it was so exciting because it addressed that depth. And you might have a day one starter in Jordan Morgan. But that means you have 6 legitimate starting linemen now. Now you need to backfill. If one of those guys or two of those guys, God forbid, goes down somewhere in the regular season, you can go plug in somebody that you draft in the 4th or 5th round from a Power 5 school. So I think you're right, and I think you're right to have concern for offensive line, but there's other needs on this team, and running back happens to be one of them. Just because they have a top-heavy room with Josh Jacobs leading the charge doesn't mean that's a room that's set. A.J. Dillon's gone after this year, I would imagine. We said that last year. I'm saying it again this year. I imagine A.J. Dillon's gone after next year. Marshawn Lloyd is a guy who's going to get meaningful reps in year one and likely be the running back two to Josh Jacobs, if not this year, next year.
844-770-3776 is the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. On Twitter at ESPN Madison is where we have our poll question posted for today. We'll get it shared from ESPN Milwaukee, and we want you to weigh in there and on the text line at 844-770-3776. Which Packers day two pick excites you the most? Your four options, the four picks yesterday: Edrin Cooper, the linebacker; Javon Bullard, the safety; Marshawn Lloyd, the running back; and Tyron Hopper, the linebacker from Missouri. Strofe, how do you answer that poll question?
Yeah, look, it was a tough one for me because all three of those top picks, other than Tyron Hopper, were awesome. I mean, I had legitimate, very happy reactions when I saw that flash across ESPN yesterday. I voted for Javon Bullard just because I know he's a day one starter. You have the biggest hole there, and I mean, look, this is now the fourth defender Goody has drafted in his time as general manager from Georgia, and Javon Bullard has a legitimate chance to be the best one. Because Quay Walker, Eric Stokes, and Devontae Wyatt have not necessarily lived up to their first round ranking. Javon Bullard is going to walk into a position group that the Packers have had a lot of trouble with over the course of the last decade. So Javon Bullard really excites me. He loves blitzing. He loves getting downhill. I'm really excited about that pick. I'm also really excited, though, about Edrin Cooper, but I voted with Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia.
Javon Bullard's a great pick. Edrin Cooper was my vote because I think the edge rushing difference that he could make, you want to get players involved in Green Bay that have a chance to be game changers, difference makers, game alterers. Edrin Cooper, I think, could be that. And the fact that they got him in the second round where they did, he was projected as a first round guy by many mocks. The fact that he fell to the Packers where he did because of the onslaught of offensive players selected in round one gets me super excited, not just for the player, but for the value that Goody got him for. It's another just example of Goody cooking. The way that we all believe in him to be able to get the job done. What pick excites you the most? 844-770-3776. Text in your answers on the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Jesse Nelson, Alex Strofe, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day, taking you up until day three of the NFL Draft on ESPN radio coverage, kicking in from Detroit at 11 o'clock on 94.5 ESPN and 100.5 ESPN. Coming up next, the host of Rutledge and Hamilton and our resident hateable Bears fan, Jim Rutledge. He is making the rounds this week, celebrating his victory laps for what the Bears have done in this draft. Jim Rutledge of Rutledge and Hamilton.
You know what they say, you win the season in April.
Scheduled to appear next on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day.
You're listening to 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. You're listening to 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Wisconsin Draft Day on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Jesse Nelson, Alex Strofe with you till 11 a.m. when coverage of day three of the 2024 NFL Draft live from Detroit begins on ESPN Radio. Perhaps a team that has been more celebratory than any over the first 2 days of the NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears. And our resident Bears fan is the host of Rutledge and Hamilton, weekdays 4 to 6 on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Jim Rutledge joins us now. Another day, another victory lap for you, Jim. Good morning. How you feeling 2 days now removed from Caleb Williams going number one overall to the Bears?
Well, even better now that I've heard him talk and he's talking about owning the pressure. He's talking about not ducking the expectations. He's coming in ready to play, and I love the confidence.
So you joined Alex Strofe, Homer, Gary Ellerson on Thursday night as the pick was taking place. And I heard you declare best quarterback in the North with blind faith, similar to what Packers fans had last year. Were you in your feelings there? Were you just a victim of the moment? Or do you genuinely feel like you have the best quarterback in the NFC North entering the 2024 season?
Entering the 2024 season, this year, maybe not, but in 2 years, absolutely. And it could be this
why?
Year. I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't embrace these expectations. He's the highest ranked prospect by almost every single person out there who actually does like prospect ranking. Matt Dan Orlovsky, who watched a couple college football games, and I know it's Jaden Daniels, who's a fifth-year starter playing with multiple first-round picks, is the best quarterback in the draft. That guy screams bust. Caleb Williams, meanwhile, has one turnover in 2 years in the red zone, one turnover in 2 years on third and fourth down. And he's one of the most efficient and ball security quarterbacks out there, one of the most accurate quarterbacks out there. He has Aaron Rodgers comps, and Andrew Luck, Joe Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence, the three comps you get, all three of those players came in, but they came to bad teams. The Bears, they won seven games last year. And so I think they're primed to be a good team, and he's got all the weapons. It might not be because of him, but I think his numbers are going to be right near the top of the NFC North as far as quarterbacks because of all the weapons he has around him.
They better be, because if he's not, that should be a ginormous concern. Think about everything the Bears have done for him. And, Jim, I know you know this, but maybe not everybody out there knows, right? You go out, you add a tight end like Gerald Everett. You add a wide receiver like Keenan Allen to an already nice offense that consists of DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. And, of course, you draft at the number 9 overall pick, debatably one of the best receivers in this draft, and Rome Odunze out of Washington, one of my favorite receivers in the draft. So, yeah, he's stepping into a really, really good situation in Chicago offensively, who already had a very good defense, and as you just mentioned, Jim, was a 7-win team a year ago. So he should look at least decent. If he looks anywhere near what Bryce Young, the number 1 overall pick, did from a year ago, you might as well start burning the jersey because it ain't worth it.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to hold him to high expectations. He's holding himself to high expectations. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Justin Fields. Both those guys, neither one were thought of as the top overall quarterback, let alone the top overall prospect. Jordan Love wasn't either. So certain guys do need to sit to get full success. So I'm not going to fight the thought that they need to sit for success. Some quarterbacks do, but the guys I listed before didn't. Matthew Stafford didn't. Cam Newton didn't. And that's the stratosphere that Caleb Williams is placed into. And then he has a ton of talent around him. So you're right. Now, there's going to be ups and downs. His season very well could look like Jordan Love's. There could be some ugly streaks in there. But in the end, Jordan Love looks like the Packers' next, at least, good QB. He's the next guy who's going to be your starter for the next 5 years. And I think we're going to see that out of Caleb Williams. I don't know if those are the exact numbers, but something around what C.J. Stroud did and Jordan Love did, I think is a fair expectation.
C.J. Stroud, okay. I mean, I think that's a little bit much, right? Love was in his fourth year, and C.J. Stroud had one of the best rookie quarterback seasons of all time. But my question is, how much time does Williams get? Because is it just one season? Like, by the end of next year, should you be looking at him and going, wow, we finally did it? Or if he looks like Justin Fields and he's wavering up and down all season long, are those doubts going to start creeping in?
I think it's how it looks. But, I mean, if he looks like, let's just go back to the quarterback we all know. If he looks like Jordan Love and it's ups and downs, and even if he doesn't, look, we had a different conversation about Jordan Love halfway through the season. Jordan Love finished strong and had, I think Jason Wilson said, 9 good games last year. So if Caleb Williams has 9 great to good games like Jordan Love did and some stinkers in there, and the Bears win 8 or 9 games, I would, again, carry the same optimism, in fact, more optimism than Packer fans have in Jordan Love, because Caleb would have done that in his rookie season. So I think he falls somewhere between C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love in his rookie/first season as a starter. I think that's where he's going to land, and I think that I don't know the stats, what they're going to be, but let's not forget they brought in Shane Waldron, who developed and obviously resurrected the career of Geno Smith and was involved in development and play calling for Jared Goff. He's not a new play caller. Thomas Brown is the guy who was at Wisconsin for a year as a running backs coach, was the de facto offensive coordinator after Carolina fired Josh McCown, but he interviewed for multiple offensive coordinator jobs. He got the passing coordinator job with the Bears. Kerry Johnson, their quarterbacks coach, also interviewed for OC jobs. So they brought in an established staff on offense and then a ton of veterans. They've set Caleb Williams up for success. If he looks like Justin Fields looked, heck, even last year, I think we're going to have – he'll feel okay with that because that's year one. But I think he's going to look better than that. I think he's going to look something like a capable top 15 NFL quarterback after year one, and then it'll go up from there.
Jim Rutledge joining ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day, host of Rutledge and Hamilton weekdays 4 to 6 on 100.5 ESPN Madison, our resident Bears fan. Jim, they're getting after you in the YouTube comments of our live video stream of this morning's show. Matthew saying this must be the alcohol talking. Mad City Brew, LOL, and all those Caleb Williams stats. They happen in college. The NFL's a different level.
Jordan Love's got 8 school records at Utah State. I'm just throwing that out there.
David, typical Jim Rutledge, ESPN Wisconsin's ugly duckling in action. Jim, what do you say to all the fans that are still getting after you?
I'll just say, listen to yourself last year. Throwing hope against the wall on an unproven quarterback in Jordan Love, who looked horrendous by all accounts, by everyone, including coaching members, his first year in the league, who was his last year as a starting quarterback at Utah State, was a massive regression and was not viewed as the prospect that Caleb Williams was viewed at. Look, I get it because it's the Bears. But everyone is not – nobody has a franchise QB until they get a franchise QB. What the Packers have done has been great. They've taken advantage of their built-in advantage of having franchise quarterbacks and them acting like morons at the end of their careers, so then the team gets in front of drafting their replacement. And that's been great for the Packers, and that's awesome. Every team would love to do that. It doesn't mean that you're not going to find your franchise quarterback because you've never had one. That's just not how it works. That's not life. Chicago set up Caleb Williams for success. Chicago took the number one overall prospect in the draft, and Rome Odunze is viewed as many as the top 6th, 7th overall prospect, and they drafted him at 9. So Chicago is set up for success. You can hate on it all you want, but what I'm saying right now is not something out of pocket. Turn on Mel Kiper. Turn on Matt Miller. Tell on any ESPN or any other draft person out there, and they're all going to tell you that worst-case scenario, they think Caleb Williams is the second-best QB in this draft. But I think he's clear-cut number one, with Drake May number two. But, look, Caleb Williams is ready to go, and I do think that he will have a season that will set Bear fans up for feeling really good about it. He could be a game manager this year. Think of Mitch Trubisky's first year as a starter, the first full season as a starter. That Bears team was loaded with talent, and they won the division. This team has way more talent on offense and defense, and Caleb Williams is better than Mitch Trubisky. So I think the Bears are in this to compete.
2 days into the Caleb Williams era, we're already comparing him to Mitch Trubisky. I like it. So, Jim, just me and you for a minute. Just me and you.
Yeah.
Is there any...
The fact that everyone takes all these shots knows makes me so confident you're all worried.
Well, I was just about to ask you, is there any sense of you, is there any part of you that is thinking to yourself, oh man, like, we finally got the guy, but we always find a way to screw it up? Because the Bears traditionally always find a way to screw up. Is there any part of you that's thinking that, or are you over the moon on this one? Or are there no thoughts of that?
Well, let me ask you reverse on it, because what I am doing is borrowing the insane optimism that you and Kyle Wallace carried for Jordan Love. There was no evidence that he was going to be a good player at all. And actually, the evidence more implied that he was going to be bad. And you just had blind faith into it and jumped into it feet first into the pool. Because past success does not predict future success. Like, that's not a real thing. Like, that's just wish casting. Like, that is, there's not some legacy magic dust in Green Bay. So it is all, obviously, Goody knew what he was doing. He picked the guy. They developed in the right way. They had the coaches there. That's all true. But I would say, was there, like, what level of doubt did you have for Jordan Love going into the last year? Like, just give me a percentage.
I don't know percentage off the top of my head, but of course there was mild doubts. I would give you that. Obviously that it took him that long to come along, and what people who are smarter than me had seen was not great his first couple of years. But I really, and you know this, Jim, I really did like the Jordan Love pick in 2020. If you go to my Twitter at Alex_Strove, it's pinned to my profile. I liked the pick. I really liked him in that draft, but yeah, it took longer than I expected to get him going, and it trickled into the 2023 season, but he ultimately got along. So, yeah, of course, there was at least a little bit of doubts.
So I'll answer that. One, I love the pick, too, because I still maintain that it cost the Packers a chance. So, like, I will love that pick to the day I die, because they gave up a first-rounder and a fourth-rounder, and they were probably two plays away from making the Super Bowl. So ask Tampa what it's like to draft a player that actually helps you contribute in the NFC Championship game. And the NFC Championship game the year after that, the Packers would have had this player. But that aside, you and I both love that pick for different reasons. The Caleb Williams pick here, obviously, there's a risk with any pick. But I would just say that I am as optimistic about this pick as you can be. You talked to me last year, even 2 years, about Justin Fields. You and Matt Hamilton, who I do the show with, almost seemed more optimistic about Fields than I was. I was still very much of, I love his ability to run. Nobody heard me. Now, I did think he had done more going into last year than Jordan Love, so you could say that maybe he would progress. But very quickly, he didn't. And very quickly, I move off of that. I think, if nothing else, I've tried to be a measured fan. I am jumping into his feet first. And it's really because Chicago set him up for success. This is not a Ryan Poles came from Kansas City. Now, Caleb's not going to sit like Patrick Mahomes sat year one, but there's no Alex Smith in Chicago. And Patrick Mahomes didn't need to sit year one to be a good quarterback. He didn't go from, like, oh, he can't play, to 50 touchdowns in his first full season as a starter just because he sat in here. He would have been good his first year as a starter. This Bears team was a fringe playoff team last year. And they are a team that is a top 10 defense last year, top 5 after they added Montez Sweat, and they've added a ton of players. And then they added veteran coaches on offense with a proven track record of developing players and teams. And they've added good interchangeable parts. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze can play any positions out there. And then you have two tight ends. They're starting running back last year. Now they're backup in Khalil Herbert. And then they've added an offensive lineman in the draft. They've added 3 other offensive linemen through trades or free agency. They are spending the investment in the infrastructure, much like the Packers did for Jordan Love. It was different with that one. Their infrastructure was, we are going to let him sit for 3 years and let him know this offense backwards and forwards. But they still had Aaron Jones. They still drafted 2 tight ends to try to make his life easier. They still built the hell out of the offensive line to try to make his life as easy as possible. Because when he's standing upright and can just throw to open receivers because he's got all the time, that's a great plan. That's what Chicago's trying to copy. So Chicago has set up Caleb Williams in a way that good franchises to develop quarterbacks like the Packers set up players.
Text from the 608. This pick will be no better than Ryan Leaf. He'll be a bust because of all the slobbering everyone's doing.
Okay, so Ryan Leaf was an alcoholic and a drug addict. So, I mean, that is the biggest reason why Ryan Leaf came.
He's not wrong.
Ryan Leaf was not the number one pick. The guy at number one pick was Peyton Manning. If you want to talk about Ryan Leaf, it's Jaden Daniels. Again, all the angst and hate from Packer fans makes me feel more and more confident that it's a real thing, and you know it. It's not going to be Ryan Leaf. Goodness gracious. Worst case scenario, this is Kyler Murray or Jared Goff, which would be a bummer, but it's still the best quarterback in my lifetime.
Jim Rutledge, host of Rutledge and Hamilton weekdays.
That's 4-6. Off.
Jim, well, it is ESPN Wisconsin draft day. I'm going to ask for you one more for a curtain call here.
Yeah.
What's your thought on day two of the Packers draft?
Like I said, I quoted Mel Kiper and I quoted Matt Miller and everyone else lauding the Bears draft. Look, Mel Kiper is saying the Packers are one of the winners on day two. I really like that Cooper pick. I really like the Bullard pick. The running back pick, he fumbles a lot, and he was injured 2 years ago. That's just a dealer's choice sort of pick. And then the running back or the linebacker from Mizzou, I mean, again, Kiper said that I think he had 12 backers over him. Again, that's more of like the Packers like that guy, just like Morgan. So they're just going to pick him and overdraft him. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I think Morgan's probably going to end up as an interior lineman starter, which feels like a reach of 25. I think Cooper's going to be a day one starter and a great pick. I think Bullard's going to be a day one starter and a great pick. So I think the Packers are having a very good draft.
We'll take the compliment and we'll say thank you for your service at this time. Jim Rutledge, resident Bears fan, host of Rutledge and Hamilton weekdays 4-6 on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Jim, thanks so much for the time on your Saturday morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Hopefully the Bears do not do more to make him even more confident. Heading into Monday's Rutledge and Hamilton on ESPN Madison. That's all I can say about that.
No, that's well said, Jesse. Look, and I want to talk about this at some point this morning as we're with you until 11 o'clock. But now that Jim's hung up, just between me and you, the Bears have had a really nice draft. And I'm really intrigued, and a really nice offseason overall. They only have one pick left, though, and I forgot to bring that up with Jimmy. They just have a fourth rounder, and they're done for the weekend. But I really like what the Bears have done this offseason in getting Caleb Williams in a position to succeed. I also really like what the Vikings have done in this NFL draft. And the Detroit Lions, by the way, were a team that was in the NFC Championship game last year. So this NFC North, this new look NFC North, is a really, really fun division. So I do want to talk about it at some point this morning. But bravo to Jim Rutledge. That was a great rant.
We'll dive further into what the state of the NFC North looks like before we're joined by Badgers all-time sack leader Tarik Salah, scheduled to appear about 15 minutes from right now. And about an hour from now, Jason Wilde joins us live from Lambeau Field to get us set for day three of the 2024 NFL Draft. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day on ESPN Wisconsin and Wisconsin On Demand. What are you laughing about?
G's playing 1985 by Bowling for Soup, which is the year all the Bears fans are still living in. I love it.
The YouTube comments loving Jim Rowe. Alex G, nice job producer of the show behind the glass here at the Everlight Solar Studios at ESPN Madison. G, what do you make of the Packers draft so far?
I love it. It's kind of weird because it feels like they're picking the spots they need instead of just picking the best available talent. And that doesn't mean that the guys that they're drafting aren't great, but they're getting guys that they need. And I've wanted a middle linebacker. Strofe, you know that from Green Bay every day. It's been my number one thing this offseason. They got him.
Yeah.
Evan in the YouTube comments, what are the similarities between Bears fans and the movie Back to the Future? They both like to go back to 1985. I don't know. Never mind. 844-770-30.
Okay.
They go back to 1955 and Back to the Future, but I guess they're trying to get back to the current day, which is 1985. Yeah. So that's a Back to the Future dilemma. That's a whole different story. Tarik Salah is scheduled to appear coming up next. Badgers all-time sack leader. Want to get his thoughts on where Braylon Allen, Tanner Bordellini are expected to be drafted today. A couple of Badgers that we assume will go off the board. So Tarik Salah coming up here in just a few minutes. Strofe, you want to talk about the state of the NFC North?
Yeah, at some point, and I'd like more than 3 minutes to do it, but we can start the conversation here, Jesse, with this, right? You look at last year's NFC North. Obviously, the Lions were the prohibitive favorite, and rightfully so. They made the NFC Championship game, ultimately losing to the NFC champion, 49ers. The Packers were a young and upcoming team. They really hit a heater there towards the end of the year. They go on the road in the wild card round and beat the 2-seed Dallas Cowboys, and they had the 49ers, the eventual NFC champion, on the ropes in the divisional round. They answered the big question that every NFL team, and six of them this year in the first round, have the question of is, who is our franchise quarterback? Packers answered that question last year. They have their guy in Jordan Love. The Bears seemingly think they have answered that question as well, drafting Caleb Williams, number one overall. And the Vikings, who have a terrific offense, right? Justin Jefferson, the best receiver in the league. TJ Hockenson, debatably one of, if not the best, tight end in the league. And by the way, they added a guy named Aaron Jones this offseason. Not sure if you've ever heard of him as the running back. So J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold, whoever their quarterback is going to be come week one, is in a really good situation offensively. But all four of these teams seemingly could probably be 500 or better.
I don't believe in the Minnesota Vikings. And Tausch was starting to fall victim to this, too, because he heard analysts saying that, okay, whoever the Vikings quarterback is, look at the skill position players around them. They're going to be loaded this year. Well, the Vikings have three picks right now for next year's draft at Lambeau Field. They're not positioned for long-term success. I don't think they're going to be able to afford the contracts for their players at the skill positions that they want to continue to maintain. Like, they might be competitive for 1 year, but they don't have the quarterback to do it right now. I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. Do you believe in J.J. McCarthy as a future franchise quarterback? He's more Brock Purdy than he is Caleb Williams to me.
Well, Brock Purdy has proven Caleb Williams isn't, so I would keep Brock Purdy's negativity out of your mouth, Jesse Nelson. That guy played in a Super Bowl not, 2.5 months ago. What are we doing?
And that's great for Brock Purdy, but if they had a Caleb Williams, they probably beat the Chiefs in that game.
Oh, so you are high on Caleb Williams. Yeah, but I think, regardless, you say fall victim to, I think it's a good point. You need a game manager in Minnesota, and they could win eight games. As for Chicago, Jim pointed it out, and he's right about it. That's what makes me a little bit, I don't want to say fearful. I still think Matt LaFleur, by the time this season is said and done, will be 12-0 in his career against the Chicago Bears. But Caleb Williams looks as sure of a thing as there's been in years at the quarterback position. He's stepping into a 7-win team. And Detroit, obviously, I still think is the favorite in the NFC North. And the Packers, by the way, should be right up there in that conversation. So the NFC North, to me, it is certainly the best division, the most competitive division in the NFC, if not the most competitive division in all of the National Football League. And it's one that fascinates me, because if you look at the first 2 days of the draft, without a doubt, the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers got better in the last 2 days. Minnesota probably got better, assuming J.J. McCarthy is better than Sam Darnold, but that's not an easy assumption to draw as it stands on April 27th. And then you look at Detroit. Detroit's Detroit, man. They're a good football team. So this is a division that is absolutely fascinating to me, and two teams for sure, if not three or four teams, got better over the course of the last 48 hours.
Is everybody still sleeping on Detroit? Because I get the feeling the buzz around Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze going to the Bears and J.J. McCarthy and now all the talk about the skill position players on offense for the Vikings. The Packers, by Mel Kiper's standards, appear to be one of the best drafts so far. I feel like nobody's talking, even though they're the host city, even though they were in the NFC Championship game last year, I feel like everybody's just overlooking the Lions and just saying, yeah, they're there, they're good, but look at all these other teams coming to get them. I think we're overrated, or we're underrating what the Lions are doing.
I mean, I'm not, but I guess I hear what you're saying. I think other people are. Yeah, but could Green Bay win this division? Absolutely. Could Detroit take a little bit of a backslide? Sure, but I still think they're a playoff team and a 10-win team or a 9-win team regardless. I think they get a wild card spot. Absolute worst case scenario for them. I'm a Dan Campbell believer. I know Tarek Saleh, who's going to join us next, is a Dan Campbell believer. And his co-host typically on the Great Dane Huddle, Derek Engler, who played on the offensive line in New York with Dan Campbell, is a Dan Campbell believer. So I've been privy to become a Dan Campbell believer. So I'm not sleeping on Detroit, and I'm certainly not sleeping on Green Bay. But I'm also looking down south at Chicago for the first time in a decade and going, oh, man. They are interesting this upcoming season. I love crapping on the Bears. I love giving the Bears hell. I love giving Jim Rutledge hell when it comes to the Bears. But, man, they are an interesting team come 2024.
Badgers all-time sack leader Tarik Salah scheduled to appear next. He's the host of the Great Dane Huddle during the football season on 100.5 ESPN Madison. I texted him to make sure he was good to go. He said, I may be on a loud bus, but we will grind it out.
What? Okay.
I got questions.
You're not going to be able to answer them. I'll ask Tarik about them, I guess.
We're going to find out from a loud bus, potentially. Tarik Salah, Badgers all-time sack. Who's on a loud bus on a Saturday morning? Like, where's he going?
9:48 a.m.
We'll talk to him next on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day.
You're listening to Draft Night coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
Every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
Badgers hoping to hear their names called today. We were wondering if Tanner Bordellini and Braylon Allen could be day two picks. They were not. So let's find out if the running back and the offensive lineman from the University of Wisconsin will hear their names called and what they would bring to their new teams. And no one better to talk about it with than Badgers all-time sack leader, host of the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Sounds like he's on a loud bus, which we're going to have
questions about.
Tarik Salah joins us on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Tarik, what the hell are you doing?
Let's go. And we're raising money for the Badger Honor Flight. I'm here with Wanaham. There's about 50 middle-aged dudes headed on to breweries that are not named. We don't even know where we're going. I have a direction, but that's it. But we're excited. We're raising money for Badger Honor Flight, you know, to fly veterans to Washington, D.C. to see the war memorials. And it's a really big deal for them. And obviously honoring those soldiers who served our country. And it's just awesome.
Yeah, I have a couple of family members who've been part of the Honor Flight. It's an awesome program. You hear so many stories about people that go on that. It's a really great cause. But you're not actually. I thought when you said you're on a, like you're on your way to Washington D.C., like you're on your way to the No, you're not on the honor. You're on a bar crawl benefiting the honor flight.
He's on his way to a bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, a lot of the they're on the microphone and all this stuff. But anyway, I gotta tell him to be quiet. But anyway,
did he just tell us to hold on a second?
No, we got a lot of business owners here.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of fun.
They are doing the announcements. God. All right, Tarik, here. Listen to your announcements on the bus. We'll come back to you in a second when you're ready. Well, Alex G will check in on you when you're all set and ready.
I mean, look, I hosted the Great Dane Huddle with Tarik Salah for 2 years. Every single time I've had a conversation with this man, it's been pure chaos. And I mean, I figured 9 a.m. on a Saturday, pretty good time to get him, maybe over a nice cup of Joe, talk a little Tanner Bordellini, talk a little Braylon Allen. And here he is on a coach bus talking about how he's going to drink at 18 different bars to raise money for the Badger Honor Flight.
Yeah, well, we're just going to work through this here, and it's just awesome. But let's talk football.
Let's talk football, Tarik. Let's talk about Braylon Allen. What do you think his draft prospect is today? A couple of running backs came off the board last night. We expect to hear his name called. Different mocks have him at different positions of where they think he will go. Some think very highly of him. Some think he'll have a little work to do to prove himself in the NFL. What do you think watching Braylon Allen?
Well, I think Braylon can go to, basically anywhere from this round down, right, down to five, probably five or six. He just needs to get a chance, and he's going to be fine. He just was inconsistent. He's hurt. So I think at that position, it's really difficult to evaluate. It's almost like quarterbacks. We don't know what we're going to get. And if you think about the Packers picks overall, the USC running back is the only one that I really, you know, who knows what these guys are like. You remember Williams and Jones that we took? I think we took them in the fifth round. There's a lot of value at the bottom of the draft. with these running backs. And in the end, Braylon just needs an opportunity, and he'll be fine if he runs his butt off.
Yeah, Dallas seems like the team he's been the most connected to. They're horrible at the running back position as it stands right now, but they don't have a pick till round five, which seems like the wheelhouse Braylon Allen could fall to. Tarik, Tanner Bordellini is a guy we've talked a lot about on the Great Dane Huddle during the Badger football season. He played out of position last year. He's viewed as a guy that could play really anywhere on the interior. He's viewed as Mel Kiper has him in the top 20 best available going into today, likely a fourth-round pick. What do you make of Bordo? Where do you think he ends up today?
Well, I don't know what the Cowboys are picking, but we have a strong tradition there. You talked about the Cowboys. I think he goes to the Cowboys if he's available. I think, why not? You had Freddie, you had Biotic. He'd be a great plug-and-play guy right there, right now. I think he's ready to go.
So if both guys are rumored to the Cowboys, Braylon Allen and Tanner Bordellini, which one do you think the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones want more? Who do you like better for a long-term NFL future there?
Oh, and it's unfortunate. It's predicated in the market. It's really Tanner Bordellini. Offensive linemen are premium. They last longer. It's just unfortunate for running backs. And, running backs are, you can get a free agent running back and be fine. You know what I mean? And the thing is, Braylon, as much as I love him and all the potential he has, he's been inconsistent. I don't think he even ran a 40. So, like, dude, you want to come play in the NFL? I mean, you got to be a grinder, man. I got to give you the ball, 15 times a game in the NFL. Are you going to be there? Am I going to count on you? So it's definitely Tanner. So we'll see what happens.
So what do you make, because both of these guys were in a way out of position last year on the Badgers. Braylon Allen was not brought in to be the running back in the system that Luke Fickell implemented, and Tanner Bordellini was playing center, where my buddy Tyler would text me every week, this guy can't snap the ball. Turns out he's great at every other position on the line. He's just not the best center, but that's not what he's going to play. Which guy do you think benefits more from reverting back to a style that fits him better in the NFL?
Well, I think Tanner does. Well, here's the deal, though. I think you can fix that snap, but they'll be under center more, too. So that's why I think Tanner's going to be okay at center. I'm not going to concede that. I think that, Braylon just needs – listen, Braylon needs – when he's ready to go and he's moving, he's great. So if he could last training camp, the guy's going to be one of the starting running back, if he's given it all he has. I believe that. I think he has the talent to do it. It's just that he's got to show it. So I think each of them have an opportunity to really make a big impact. They just got to go and get the opportunity, which they will. So,
Tarik Saleh, host of the Great Dane Huddle, Badgers all-time sack leader, and on a bar crawl at 10 a.m. on a Saturday on a loud bus somewhere in the greater Madison area.
I love that, dude. I love that, dude.
Living the dream, Tarik. Enjoy the cause.
On.
Oh, what
hey,
do you got?
You can't cut me off. You can't cut me off, man. Hey, Strofe, congratulations on your Milwaukee opportunity. You're going to crush it down there. How are you doing? You feeling good about it?
I feel great, Tarik. It's good to be with Jesse Nelson, who I thought I was escaping forever, day four. But nonetheless, I'm excited. Milwaukee rocks. It's 68 degrees outside, a little muggy, a lot of action here at the 3rd Street Market Hall. So all things good in my world. We'll get together soon. We'll have to go on a bar crawl of our own. Talk to your bus driver. See if they can get us another Saturday.
Man. Hey, listen, go Pack, go. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, G-Man.
Thanks, Tarik.
Go Pack.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you, buddy. Tarik Saleh, Badgers all-time sack leader, host of the Great Dane Huddle on a bar crawl benefiting the Badger Honor Flight somewhere in the state of Wisconsin right now. I don't want to know where that guy's at 1 o'clock today.
Me neither, dude. I mean, I won't be far behind him, as I'll be tailgating in at American Family Field. But I love that dude. And I love how he just says to you, Jesse, who, by the way, you are technically his boss. He goes, you can't cut me off.
You know what? He's right.
Yeah. It's impossible. I hosted with him for 2 years. Trust me, I know.
ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. I'm cutting you off right now, Strofe, because we're going to reset here at the top of the hour. 1 hour still to go before coverage of day three of the NFL Draft live from Detroit begins on ESPN Radio. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. We begin to turn ahead. In addition to looking back on what the Packers have done, what is left to do for Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst with eight picks on the docket for day three, rounds 4 through 7 of the 2024 NFL Draft. We'll do that, including an appearance from Jason Wilde, scheduled to appear live from Lambeau Field coming up at 10:30. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day.
This is Draft Night coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day, the 10 o'clock hour on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN app in Wisconsin on demand. My name's Jesse Nelson. I'm normally the producer of Wilde and Tausch weekday mornings 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Joining me is Alex Strofe. He's usually the producer of Kyle Bruston Nortman weekdays at 2 on ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Gravatt is producing our show in the Everlight Solar Studios at ESPN Madison.
It's a producer takeover.
He is normally the producer of the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. And Max Meyerson is our producer in the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios in Milwaukee. So how about that? Four producers with you, taking you up till day three of the NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, starting at 11 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin. ESPN Radio's coverage will continue until about 6 o'clock tonight, until the draft concludes. And then, of course, all the reactions coming Monday morning, all day long on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, and our respective YouTube channels. Lots to talk about from the Green Bay Packers making 5 picks in the first 2 days, including 4 picks last night. Our poll question, which is up on Twitter at ESPN Madison, shared from ESPN Milwaukee: which Packers day 2 pick excites you the most? Your options: Edgerrin Cooper, the edge rusher from Texas A&M; Javon Bullard, the safety from Georgia; Marshawn Lloyd, the running back from USC; or Tyron Hopper, the linebacker from Missouri. As the voting stands right now, over 100 votes in. Edgerrin Cooper leading the way with nearly 50% of the vote.
Wow.
47% agree with me that Edgerrin Cooper is the draft pick that most excites Packers fans. Javon Bullard, Strofe's pick, at 32%. Marshawn Lloyd, 18%, which I actually think is high because I thought that was the worst pick so far.
And no.
Tyron Hopper only with 4% of the vote. Strofe, what do you make of the returns there so far?
I think it makes complete sense. Hopper, now that I've read into it a little bit more, Jesse, just during commercial breaks and whatnot, as I continue to kind of scrub up on my knowledge, it seems like Hopper's kind of a special teams guy, right? Like Bisaccia might have been in the room and said, hey, this is a guy I like. He's scrappy, he's quick, he obviously a good tackler, but he might not be a guy that can crack the linebacker rotation immediately. But I will say, you read the four guys they drafted yesterday, you said one position group twice, linebacker. Goody loves competition in rooms that need competition, and it is very, very clear that the Packers linebacker room needs competition. Jesse, I ran Josh DiMaggio and Gabe Neitzel through this exercise yesterday, and I think I've run Alex Gravatt through this exercise before just to prove how concerning it is. So, Jesse, tell me if you know who these individuals are. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it.
So prior to yesterday, Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper being drafted, these were the names in the Packers linebacker room. You know who Quay Walker is, right?
I do, yeah.
You know who Isaiah McDuffie is?
Sure.
And you know who Eric Wilson is, I assume?
Yeah, big special teams play. Would have been the hero of the season had the Packers beat the 49ers.
That's true. They did have that big special teams play. How about Aaron Mosby? Jesse, you have any idea who that is?
No, wasn't Mr. Mosby like the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody guy that ran the hotel?
I was more of a Nickelodeon kid, but Max Meyerson is shaking his head at yes here
all
at the
right,
Gruber Law. This is One Call That's All Studios. So I would assume that the answer is yes.
I did not expect to bring up the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody today, but here we are on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day.
So if you go on ESPN.com, you go to Green Bay Packers and click depth chart. Aaron Mosby is still listed as a starter for the Green Bay Packers as at linebacker. It says Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Aaron Mosby are the starters. Okay.
Do you think Aaron Mosby knows that?
Yeah, probably not. Isaiah McDuffie would be the third starter. How about Keyshawn Banks? You know who that is, Jesse?
No.
Yeah, me neither. How about Christian Welch? You know who Christian Welch is?
I've heard the Welch name because I always think grape juice when I hear Welch. I'm like, I've definitely had the word association with grape juice before.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the nine, and then you add Hopper and Cooper. Those are the eight, I think, is the number there, or nine linebackers on the roster. We don't know who three of them are, and two of them were drafted yesterday. So that tells you what they need at linebacker, and Goody clearly understands that. So investing in that position group yesterday, I think, was a huge win, even if Tyron Hopper is more of a special teams play. Competition breeds excellence, and I think the Packers have a really good opportunity to do that in that room this year. Now, when it comes to the other two picks, Javon Bullard, the safety, obviously that is a position of need. He will be the starter likely at strong safety next to Xavier McKinney at free safety. So you feel pretty good about your defensive backfield all of a sudden. You hope they invest in some cornerbacks here. They have, what, 8-10 picks? How many picks do they have today, Jesse?
Eight picks remain today? Eight, because he acquired two in the trade back from 41 to 45 in the second round yesterday. So two additional picks from the six originally scheduled. Eight for Goody today.
So the big question mark, I think, and surprise over the course of the first 2 days is there hasn't been a cornerback drafted yet. But with eight picks left today, I imagine he probably drafts two today. And then you have to look at some of the other needs, right? Defensive tackle is probably a need that you want to address. Some more offensive line depth is something you want to get into. I wouldn't be shocked if they drafted a wide receiver today. They went running back yesterday, which I think is a bigger need than people realize. Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon are a nice 1-2 punch. But to be real honest with you, Jesse, I believe in A.J. Dillon as the mayor of Door County. I don't believe in A.J. Dillon as the number two running back on the Green Bay Packers. So Marshawn Lloyd was a big ad. I know there's a lot of mixed feelings on what he is. I saw some people call him the best running back in the draft. I saw some people say, hey, he fumbles too much. He's not going to translate well to the NFL. So we'll see. It's a wait-and-see game with Marshawn Lloyd. But Marshawn L. from a school in California, the last guy who did that turned out pretty good.
844-770-3776, the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line today on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Jesse Nelson, Alex Stroph, Ted Mosby of From How I Met Your Mother. How'd we miss that one? Ryan chiming in with that one on the text line. Name your favorite Mosby, 844-770-3776. A couple other responses to our question, who's your favorite draft pick, or which draft pick, I should say, excites you the most? Because I think that might be a different answer. Who's your favorite draft pick so far versus which one excites you the most? Matt in West Bend says Bullard because he laid the hit on Marvin Harrison Jr., knocked him out of the playoff game in the college football playoff years ago. Physical player, loves the pick. Matt in West Bend saying Javon Bullard, the safety, and that's your guy, Stroph, that you're saying is the pick that excites you the most for the Packers draft so far.
Yeah, he is my guy, but I think he's my guy because it's the position of greatest need. And it was one that the Packers shied away from addressing in last year's draft for the most part, outside of Anthony Johnson Jr. in the seventh round. And he was a nice player in his rookie year. But, Jesse, if I tell you you can have a safety out of Georgia who's a brand-new rookie, or Anthony Johnson Jr. who's a converted running back and only played one collegiate season at safety, as your second starting safety this year, who would you rather have?
I'm taking Bullard.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. So that's why that one excites me. But as we've talked about quite a bit already today, that Edgerrin Cooper pick is really exciting too. He's a guy that was really wrecking some offensive lines. He had a terrific year last year at Texas A&M. He's going to be in the starting lineup. So those first two picks from yesterday will both be starters on this new Jeff Hafley defense. And Jeff Hafley, who we've only heard speak to the media a few times since being hired as the Packers defensive coordinator, just wants to create pressure. He wants to bring the smackdown here in 2024, wants to bring new energy, wants to bring a lot of speed, and clearly Goody's investing in that here so far in the NFL draft. Three defensive picks, two offensive picks, and the two offensive picks, both great too. I mean, we've talked enough about Captain Morgan, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, the new offensive tackle, the first round pick for the Packers. Big body, is a true tackle. Everybody that knows football a hell of a lot better than I do gushes over him. I know Bill Belichick, who was on the Pat McAfee show Thursday night, had great things to say about Jordan Morgan. So that helped my confidence level a little bit, despite it not being the sexiest pick in the world.
David on the text line, Bullard also gets his vote because on certain scouting reports, he's been referred to as a little stick of dynamite on the field.
Whoa, I like that.
A little stick of dynamite. So David on the text line also saying Javon Bullard, the safety of Georgia, is his favorite day two Packers draft pick. Stroph, let me ask you this. So you bring up Captain Morgan is what you're going to roll with, Jordan Morgan?
Yeah, so I don't know that I'm going to stick to that, Jesse. I more did that bit when Kool-Aid McKinstry was still on the board because I was hoping they drafted Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yeah. We could do a little Captain and Kool-Aid, and I was going to be willing to try it. That's digital content, baby, right? A little Captain Morgan, a little Kool-Aid, mix it together. It probably would have sucked, but I certainly would have tried it. I would have been all in on it. Could have been my game day drink this season.
I did see someone advocating the other day on our text line during Wildy and Tausch, they should make a trade for Khalil Mack or draft someone with the name Mack so they could run a package with Rashawn Gary, Tucker Kraft, and the new Mack player, and it could be Kraft Mac and Cheese.
I like that. I like that.
Seemed like a stretch, especially because they play different positions and different sides of the ball.
But hey, just one package. Just one package. Just,
okay, sure. We could make a one box, one could say, that you could finish by yourself. If you add in Jordan Morgan on Monday night, the first round pick for the Packers, does your answer to our question change? Which draft pick excites you the most? Would Jordan Morgan get your vote, or is it still Javon Bullard?
No, it's still Javon Bullard, and here's why. It's not that Jordan Morgan doesn't excite me, and I think he will be a starter come week one in Brazil. But I think the best part about offensive linemen is you kind of forget they exist until their name is said on the national television broadcast, and that means they screwed something up. I hope he's the type of guy that comes in and doesn't make a ton of mistakes, although obviously the translation from the Pac-12 RIP to the NFL is not the easiest in the world, but I hope he's a guy. I mean, he's like 6'8", 300 pounds, or 6'5", 300 pounds, Jesse. I mean, he's a big boy. And I think it gives you some flexibility on the offensive line. Now, today, you need to add some more depth pieces because the Packers don't really have that at offensive line. They have six offensive linemen now that you're comfortable with on the field. That would be their previous starting five from left to right: Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. And now you add in Morgan. Those are the six offensive linemen you feel really comfortable with. But now you need to bring in probably eight picks today, Jesse. What would you say? Two more offensive linemen today?
I would love two more offensive linemen. I would have loved one yesterday instead of a running back. So, yeah, I think for
sure
you want.
I think you're really undervaluing this running back pick.
I might
because
be.
I feel a little similarity. And I'll tell you this. Here's my bold prediction for day three of the NFL draft. I don't know that they're done at running back. This gives me a little bit of flashback to 2017 when they felt okay about the running back room, but they drafted guys by the name of Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones in the same draft. That worked out all right. Josh Jacobs is a sexy signing. It was a big splash in free agency, something that Goody has not done, right? He opened the pocketbook big time in free agency this year for the duo of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Jacobs is a sexy signing. It's awesome. It's a huge addition to this Green Bay offense. It's undeniably an upgrade from Aaron Jones, who played the best five-game stretch of his career at the end of last season. Jacobs only 26 years old. He's a huge add. But the running back position is a weird one, right? Remember the revolt last year all those running backs had because they weren't being valued. And they're still not to the same level that they were 10 years ago. Josh Jacobs might be a Green Bay Packer for 3 or 4 years. He also might be a Green Bay Packer for 1 or 2 years. And if you invest in a guy like Marshawn Lloyd, and let's just throw the name out there because we all know and love it. Let's say they grab Braylon Allen in the 6th round today. I'm not upset about that. As I said earlier, competition creates excellence. And even if Braylon Allen doesn't make the roster as the 4th running back or the 5th running back, depending on how you value Emmanuel Wilson, the rookie from last season, I love the competition in that room. You feel great about the wide receiver room. You feel great about the tight end room. You feel great about your quarterback. I just mentioned you have 6 offensive linemen you feel comfortable with on the field. Man, if you could trot out, let's say, Marshawn Lloyd and Josh Jacobs together in a package. I mean, when you think of the offensive genius and great play caller that Matt LaFleur is, options, options, options in 2024 as you chase a title, I certainly don't view that as a bad thing.
You don't need it. We got Jaden Reed. They're high on Emmanuel Wilson still. You got players that are versatile.
Like
Christian Watson. Remember when that guy could run still? He's speedy. You got other options you can utilize in packages with movement and direction.
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple dozen running backs that are cut from trying to make active rosters at the end of training camp. You're telling me that there's not one that you could pick up if need be, if Josh Jacobs or A.J. Dillon or somebody else gets hurt that you couldn't bring in that could make an immediate impact? Don't waste the draft pick on that. Stock up on the offensive line. Stock up on edge rushers. Stock up in the secondary. That's where you always need more depth. Don't stock up on the running back room. It's easily replaceable in a pinch if you need to.
Let me ask you this, because I know we got to get to a break. But if the Packers were to either draft, and I'm talking round four, first one of the first, I think they just have one round four pick. If they draft with their fourth round pick today, either a wide receiver or a running back, which would you be more upset about? Which would you rather? Which would you want them not to do more? Does that make sense?
I'm fine with them drafting a receiver. Like, Bo Melton is not the answer. Yeah. Like, give me a receiver to go compete for the fourth spot. Like, look at all the receivers that have ended up being great that are day three picks for the Green Bay Pack or around the league. Like, it's not just in Green Bay. Running back is replaceable. They already drafted one too high. They don't need another running. They got three running backs now, plus Emmanuel Wilson, make it four that could compete for time. You saw Emmanuel Wilson play in NFL games last year, that making an impact down the stretch of the season he was involved in with two other running backs that were the starters in front of him, and there were some injuries involved there. You don't need more running back depth. If you need to do that, if you need to address it in a pinch during the season, you got options that'll be out there. Don't worry about the running backs on day three of the draft. Stock up on depth. That's what today's all about. That's my approach.
I think you're totally right. I think you're totally right. I tend to agree with you. I would love to see them grab a receiver today, though I don't know how realistic it is. It might be a seventh round thing, right? Late round flyer. But both the wide receivers, by the way, they hosted on top 30 visits. Xavier Leggett and Jermaine Burton have both gone now. I don't remember where Leggett went. He went in the late first round, right? He's wearing number 24. I just saw that. What team, Max? You know the answer? He was the last pick in the first round. That's right. And then Burton went to the Bengals. So both of the guys they brought in on top 30 visits gone off the board. So we'll see if they take a late round flyer on a receiver. I know one of our YouTube commenters, probably our most dedicated one, but I'm blanking on his name, has been in love with Johnny Wilson out of Florida State.
Joseph S.
Yes, Joseph S. has been in love with Johnny Wilson out of Florida State as a day three pick. He feels like a Packers pick, Alan Lazard type. Not super fast, but very tall. I'm not against it.
Leggett did go to Carolina with the final pick of the first
round.
Carolina,
but he's
Thursday
wearing,
night.
Dude, he's done though. He's a receiver wearing number 24. How dumb is that?
It's not dumb. That's today's NFL.
That's stupid. That's 24
like,
is a running
like
back.
That's like saying
number.
Entering D-back the transfer number. Portal is dumb in college sports.
Oh,
like,
that's a bad comparison. How many receivers off the top of your head can you name with a number 20 or 20 to 29 jersey number?
One, Xavier Leggett. That's exactly why he should do it. 844-770-3776. Got some texts I still want to get Strofe's opinions on as you continue to weigh them in on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line here on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Also want to hear from General Manager Brian Gutekunst meeting with the media after rounds 2 and 3 last night, talking about how the philosophy evolved throughout the course of the evening, including trading back from pick 41 to 45 and acquiring two more picks on day three. We'll review that as we get ready to talk to Jason Wilde live from Lambeau Field coming up at 10:30, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day.
You're listening to Draft Night coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
So there's someone in the YouTube comments on the video stream, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. We appreciate all of you that are along for the ride today with us. Alex Strofe, Jesse Nelson with you till 11 o'clock when day three NFL draft coverage on ESPN Radio continues. The guy's name on the YouTube comments is Fruity Lovecraft, which is already an interesting start.
Love it.
Jesse doesn't know what he's talking about, and he spelled my name with an I. Pet peeve number one. You know this, Strofe. If you're going to tell me I don't know what I'm talking, at least get my name right when you're going to do this. You know who else did this the other day? Homer spelled my name with an I. He tweeted, Jesse's right about something. He spelled my name with an I. I wanted to get this thing framed and put it up in my like office at home. Remember that day that Homer tweeted Jesse was right? It would have been a monumental day of my career, and he spelled my name with an I. There's no I in my name.
I learned my lesson the hard way here at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios. I stayed logged in on Twitter one day after, it was during the Packers season, during Green Bay game day, and Homer started rifling off tweets as me about Tyler Kolek and the Marquette Golden Eagles. So at least he actually tweeted it from the correct account.
By the way, I'm right, Fruity Lovecraft. We don't need more running back depth.
You can bring somebody in when need be. I'm not saying I want the Packers to draft a wide receiver today. I don't think it would be the worst idea. But Strofe asked me, do you want a receiver or a running back? I said I'd rather take a receiver. I don't really want either. I want edge rushers. I want offensive. I want 100 offensive linemen today. That, I think, is the dream scenario for me. I just want all offensive linemen. Just build depth to protect Jordan Love and establish a running game, and then maybe sprinkle in a defensive lineman or another edge rusher that you can put on that side of the ball for Jeff Hafley. That's what I want from my draft today from Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst. 8 picks on the docket. We'll see if he uses them all. Let's hear from Goody. Last night after rounds 2 and 3 of the draft, he was asked about trading back. This is actually Rob Domofsky's question included in this clip here. This is Brian Gutekunst last night after the draft talking about his philosophy on day 2.
Brian, did you move back because someone you wanted had been picked, or did you just think you had so many guys?
We actually had that deal done a couple picks ahead of time, you know. So, it was just we in that particular round, our board was very, very strong. I was not able to pick up picks in the first day, and I kind of wanted to, so this was an opportunity to do that. And then it gave us some ammunition to kind of, you know, there's a couple times I think later today that we tried to move around a little bit. We couldn't, but, we might have that ability tomorrow with the extra picks that we gained.
No subterfuge there. Strofe, what do you make of hearing Goody say that? Because I thought that was fascinating.
I mean, you're right. It is fascinating. I love the energy. Goody is, let's remember his background for a minute, right? Because this is his weekend. As much as we love seeing him make splashes in free agency and love seeing the rosters he constructs, this is his weekend. This is a guy that came up as a scout. He came up in the scouting department. He has always been involved heavily when it comes to this weekend. So for him to come out and say, hey, man, this is our board is falling this way. We're able to get Edgerrin Cooper, who we actually thought about at pick 25, and we end up getting him later at pick 45 by trading back, adding a couple of picks. Now I have, what is it, a total, 13 picks total this weekend. Man, I love it. I said it last year. I said it during the season as the youth movement came to fruition. Brian Gutekunst is cooking. And after day 2 of the NFL draft, Jesse, Brian Gutekunst is cooking.
So here's something that I am interested in seeing. So Goody's got 8 picks today. The roster is only so big.
Yes, it is.
You can only have so many players in Green Bay, not even for the regulars. Like, you can only have so many people in training camp before it just feels like, okay, this is pretty crowded. I think Goody is going to take some of today's picks, and I think he's going to trade for future picks for sustainability. Goody should be on the Packers sustainability committee today, because that's what I think that he's going to do. I think today you're going to take these 8 picks, and I think he makes 5 or 6 picks, but I think he's able to trade like a 5th rounder if he feels pretty good, especially with how young the team is right now. I think he takes a couple of these picks and says, hey, New Orleans, hey, Minnesota, I don't know, who other teams around the league that don't have many picks in a couple of drafts upcoming. Would you like to have this one today? And instead, we'll take 1 or 2 next year or in 2026 or whatever the case may be. I would love to see Goody sustain future Packers picks. You don't need 14 picks in this draft. You could get 10 and feel pretty good about it. 11, 12, feel pretty good about it. And then add 1 or 2 more for next year so you can continue to get more of the bites at the apple to bring guys in to continue the steady improvement of the roster for years to come. That's the philosophy I would like to see from Goody today.
He's running low. 76 players. This counts the players added yesterday in the draft. 76 players on the roster. He's 8 picks today. That brings it to 84, and he can only bring 90 to camp. So that means you only get, what, 6 undrafted free agents? He's running out of space. Your theory isn't horrible. But, I don't know. Take your swings. And you could be right. You could be wrong. But Goody loves his draft picks. We will see what happens.
We'll see what's in store for day 3 of the NFL draft live from Lambeau Field. Jason Wilde of Wilde & Tausch is scheduled to appear to share all of his insights on a busy weekend up in Titletown. Jason Wilde joins us next on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day.
This is Draft Night coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
It just takes some time.
Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst slated to make 8 picks in rounds 4 through 7, day 3 of the 2024 NFL draft. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Will he make all of those picks, or is Goody still wheeling and dealing? We're going to find out right now. Jesse Nelson, Alex Stroff, and we are joined live from Lambeau Field by the host of Wilde and Tausch, which is a very well-produced show, weekday mornings 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin.
Wrong!
It is our pal Jason Wilde, live from Lambeau, joining us on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Jason, good morning. How's draft weekend treating you?
Jason!
It's treated me well. A couple things. I mean, one, I thought the point you made earlier about maybe trading back all the way into 2025 was a good one. I'm not sure I followed the logic of teams that don't have many picks next year giving up a few of their picks next year.
That was a misspeak by Jesse Nelson right there. That was a very well-produced show, 9 to noon weekdays, very poorly hosted show today.
We've had a few of those misspeaks today. It's early.
Yeah, that's very surprising. Two, I didn't realize, I am a huge Alex Gravatt fan, but I didn't realize that he was such a star for the Madison Radicals that they announced his signing. And he, he's got great hair, but I didn't realize he was ripped like that. Like,
oh, he's ripped.
If I'm playing Ultimate Frisbee, man, I ain't messing with that dude. And then finally, I have to vent about something. So I've been on a fair amount during the draft, and I love it. This is as well produced as Wilde and Tausch may be. It's not always well hosted because I don't have a lot of takes, and I gotta adjust to what Tausch says. But when I'm in this is my jam. You know, like you ask me questions and I answer them. So yesterday I'm on with you guys. And I spent roughly 15 minutes praising what Goody has done in the first 2 days. I think it was after the, I don't know if it was after the third round pick or not. But I basically said, you know, how good things have gone and they filled these needs. They got the safety they needed. They really like Bullard. But I did say, and I think it's to a lesser degree than, say, Kevin King versus TJ Watt, but there were a lot of fans that thought this is Cooper DeJean's team, and they the Eagles trade up in front of them and take DeJean at 40. And I said in real time, hey, when we talk to Goody, I want to know if that influenced the trade. Now, it turns out, as he said, they had actually agreed to that trade with the Saints before DeJean went. So they clearly didn't really want Cooper DeJean, right? Just like they didn't want TJ Watt in 2017. I've told that story a bunch. They did not like.
Jason, in the middle of your speaking there, I think we lost your audio all of a sudden. I'm not sure what happened there, so we'll see if we can work through correcting that here in a moment. ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Jason was right in the middle of telling us something great there, too, so let's see if we can reconnect with him here in just a moment. Stroff, when you hear what Jason is saying there, what stands out most to you?
I think the Cooper DeJean to TJ Watt comparison is fascinating. I don't know that Cooper DeJean will have the NFL career that TJ Watt has had, obviously being a defensive player of the year. But I was curious that, to Jason's point, I said the same thing on our draft coverage last night when DeJean went at 40 and the Packers traded out of 41. I wondered if that influenced it. But maybe Bullard was always their guy at safety, and DeJean wasn't their guy at safety. We know Goody falls in love with guys. And, I mean, that was clearly the case in round number one with the offensive tackle, Jordan Morgan. So we will see. It sounds like we might have Jason back.
Yeah, I think we got Jason back here. So proceed, Mr. Wilde. Oh, you're faking it now. I know when you're faking it.
I can hear that.
So
yeah.
Liar.
I don't know where you lost me. But, look, you're right. It is not to the degree of TJ Watt versus Kevin King by any means. But I did say that we are going to be paying attention to where what Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry do. They were the 40th and 41st picks. And the Packers, you know, I got Jack Wagons on Twitter saying, oh, I hate Goody again and all this other crap. And it pisses me off because I think he's done a great job. I think he has filled the needs they needed to fill. But, and again, I think it's really important, and this is why we ask questions. That's why this job is part about getting answers and asking the questions that get the answers. Goody said they agreed to the trade with the Saints before DeJean was picked. So they never intended, they did not care about that. What happened there, though, when they took Edgerrin Cooper at 45, is what we talked about during the week from my question to Goody on Monday about drafting Jaden Reed. That they traded back twice, and they could have missed out on the dude that ended up leading them in receiving last year. But he was still there at 50. And if he hadn't been, Goody basically shrugged and said, we would have taken someone else who was graded that way. So they trusted their board. They accumulated two extra picks today, so they're up to 8. I don't have any qualms at all with anything Goody has done to this point. I don't think there's been a lot of sexy picks here. I think Bullard is probably the one that is the sexiest. He was a really good player at Georgia. He's really versatile. But if you were hoping for, you know, Xavier Worthy and getting excited about what he could do for you, you're going to be watching him do it for the Chiefs as their new Tyreek Hill. But I think he has done what he needed to do in his first 2 days. He kept all 5 of his picks, made sure he picked 5 guys in the first 91, and now he can augment the roster the rest of the day.
I think you're totally right, Jason. I'm really impressed with what Goody did on day number 2. There's a pick in particular I want to talk to you about because it's a position you and I have talked plenty about this offseason. That's the running back position. They go with a day 2 pick for Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. It's something you and I have been in agreement on, and this was even prior to the Josh Jacobs signing and the Aaron Jones release, is that, hey, a running back or two in this NFL draft could certainly help you long term. Now, obviously, with Josh Jacobs in the picture, you hope that he can be your number one back for several seasons ongoing. But this Marshawn Lloyd pick in the 3rd round is fascinating to me. I think he's a little bit different of a back than either Josh Jacobs or A.J. Dillon, and he could catapult into the RB2 slot some point this season. What do you make of that draft pick, running back in round 3?
Yeah, totally agree with your word choice there. It is fascinating. He's 5'8", 220.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's about as short as Aaron Jones, but he's compact and put together.
He's
right?
Me.
And to me, yes, very similar. That's actually exactly what I was thinking. A little slower. But you know, here's the thing. A.J. Dillon, who we all like, right? I mean, I did a charity thing with him for Feeding Wisconsin, Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. He's Mr. Door County. Their commitment to him, bupkis. That contract that he signed, that guaranteed him nothing.
Nothing.
And so if they decide at the end of training camp that they like Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson and maybe some other running back that they sign as an undrafted free agent, boom, great. They like those guys, and they say, AJ, thank you for your service. Good luck somewhere else. And so I think it's fascinating that they went with Lloyd. You know, I heard Daniel Jeremiah on the NFL Network say he was the best running back in the draft. He went 4th of the running backs. But we'll see. I will say this. 3rd round was a little higher than I thought they would take a running back, but this is a guy that they really liked, and it makes a lot of sense.
Joined by Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tausch, weekday mornings 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, so since you're upset with everybody getting after you for being critical of Brian Gutekunst, well, a little bit.
Some. Social media.
Why don't you take a moment to say what has impressed you most by Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst so far during this draft?
Gutestan, Jason Wilde, yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, big stand. Yeah, Tausch 2.0. Yeah, make sure that this is what's on social media. Goody's the man. I'm the man. Look, there's when you go through the picks, right? We asked him, I think it was Rob Domofsky who asked him this yesterday, because I always like to joke about, it's funny how the best player available also turned out to be a guy that fit a need that you needed, right? It's funny how that, and, you know, Ted, that's just the way it worked out, Jason. But the truth of the matter is, they took guys that you knew they liked, right? Edgerrin Cooper, came in for a pre-draft visit, one of their 30 allotted picks that are allowed to come in. And they really liked him. They put him on the board. They liked what they saw. They see him as being interchangeable with Quay Walker. And somebody asked this question yesterday. I'm not saying that this will be that duo, but the idea behind it is Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner, or as Tausch calls him, Varner. If those guys turn out to be that, I mean, you know, start getting Goody's gold jacket ready, right?
Yep.
Jordan Morgan, no one's real excited about that because he's not, you know, the sexy offensive tackle pick. Just like nobody was that excited about Brian Bulaga, who turned out to be a damn good football player. So they picked a position that they clearly needed a need there. I talked about Bullard earlier. I don't know how you're not excited about him. He was the best player on the field in the semifinal game in the 2022 National Championship playoffs, right? I mean, he plays the slot. He can play the deep post. He can come up and support the run. He is viewed as interchangeable with Xavier McKinney. And the way that Goody explained it to us is, and they apparently call Xavier X, which is perfect because he is going to be the X factor of their defense. They want to be able to move him to all kinds of spots. And to be able to do that, they needed another guy with a similar skill set so that guy can move. And it sounds like Javon Bullard is exactly what they needed there. You know, the two linebackers that they drafted, Cooper and Hopper, which I almost called them Cooper and Hooper, which is going to be another whole thing. Those guys are both going to help them on special teams. And if they play three linebackers, they've got Quay, they've got the two picks, they've got Isaiah McDuffie. So, again, he has augmented the positions that he needed in a really big way. And now he's got the 13 picks that he wanted to come out of the draft with. We'll see if he follows Jesse Marshawn Nelson's advice, because you're both the same shape, and if he trades back into 2025 to accumulate an extra pick or two.
The three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, the great Jason Wilde with us here on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Jason, last one for you. I know we're running short on time, so 60 seconds. Eight picks today for Goody. What positions do you think are top of mind? I know they're best player available mantra, but there are still some holes on this team. Which position groups do you think are top of mind for Goody here as we enter the final day of the draft?
Yeah, I think they need more offensive linemen, right? And they need to augment their depth there. Look, Carrington Valentine, I'm not putting him in the Donald Driver, Adam Timmerman, Mark Tauscher pantheon of great seventh-round picks, but the dude started 12 games last year. If you can unearth another gem at corner, that's the one position that I'm still a little uneasy about if I'm a Packers fan.
Agreed.
Because of Eric Stokes' track record, because of not – Jair seems happy now that he's earning his $700,000 workout bonus – but again, I don't know for sure that he's going to be happy. I would hope so in a new system. So those are the two spots, I think, most significantly that jump out at me. I do think they're taking a quarterback at some point today. I heard Ian Rappaport talking last night about Spencer Rattler, who the Packers were one of the teams that brought him in for a visit. Again, Goody said he wanted to draft a quarterback at some point. Today's the day to do it. He needed to use those five picks on other more important positions.
Braylon Allen or Tanner Bordellini, who has a better chance to be a Packer?
Neither.
Tanner Bordellini, I think, at this point, right? Because they drafted Marshawn Nelson Lloyd. But again, I really like Tanner. I was surprised that he was still available to start the fourth round. I'm eager to see where he lands. He would make sense, because he's an interior guy, and that would allow them to say, all right, Jordan Morgan, you're a – and real quick, I know you guys got to go. Think about their track record in the fourth round with offensive linemen. He could be one of those latest fourth-round gems with Sitton and Lang and Bakhtiari and Tom and all those guys.
Fascinating to see how it all plays out today, and also if Goody's on the sustainability plan for years to come by trading with the Vikings, who have three picks next year. That would be a great decision by Minnesota to be able to do that. Jason, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate you taking time all weekend long to join us from Lambeau Field while you're covering the draft. We look forward to catching up on Monday morning.
Alex, Marshawn, thanks for having me. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde live from Lambeau Field joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. We'll recap what Jason shared with us and look ahead. Final thoughts as we head into day three of the NFL Draft. Jesse Nelson, Alex Stroph, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Day. Wisconsin Draft Day on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, and Wisconsin On Demand. Jesse Nelson, Alex Stroph, we thank all of you for coming along with us today. Jeremiah and Madison texting in, this crew should have a show. In which case, I would say to you, Jeremiah, if you had ice cream for breakfast every day, it wouldn't be special. That's all I got to say.
That's your line.
That's my line on that. Yeah,
That's what you have.
He revoked his comment.
I don't think we should have a show. I think this is good. Like once a year, this crew should get together and do a draft day three show from
once
9 to 11.
A year,
leading into day three of the NFL draft. That's exactly about, where we belong.
Let me negotiate a little bit. How about once a quarter?
Maybe, but what else are we going to preview? That's what makes this show so great. We had Jim Rutledge, Tarek Salah,
yeah,
Jason Wilde join us this morning.
How about the NBA Finals when the Bucks come back down 2-1 to the Pacers?
I tell you what, let's do Memorial Day Monday. All three of us get back here. Work the holidays because the grinders that we are.
Yeah, can we do 9 to noon that day, though? Because we're only 9 to 11 today, and in reality, we've got, what, 15 seconds left?
I got to admit, I want to be up at the lake on Memorial Day. I'm not going to do that. Stroph, what's your final thought on the Packers draft heading into day number three today?
Brian Gutekunst is cooking. I have 6 seconds. What do you want me to say?
I agree. Trade some picks. Sustain for the future. Thanks to everybody that was part of the show today. Enjoy NFL Draft Day 3 coming up next on ESPN Radio.